It's Financial Freedom Friday, and on this episode of the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, we are going to dive into the future of realtors' commissions.
Hey Mavericks, this is Ava Baukamp, and this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks is brought to you by Legacy Impact Investors. We are an industrial investment firm located in cash flow country, the Midwest. We strive to shield off risk and beat inflation, all while producing predictable cash flow. We curate real estate investment opportunities for busy professionals and other real estate investors seeking passive income. To learn more about what we do and connect with me, go to www.legacyimpactinvestors.com.
Maverick, noun, unusual person, a visionary, leader, go-getter, an independent thinker. They see the vision for their life and pull that future towards them with an unyielding belief that things can and must be better. They achieve what most won't. Innovative, influential, daring, and direct, with a remarkably high tolerance for taking calculated risk. A foe to the status quo. This is Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks. Your host, Neil Timmons, has been involved with over $300 million in real estate transactions. He's a published author, commercial property investor, and real estate syndicator. This show is for those who want to learn how to earn passive income through real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Neil Timmons.
Welcome to the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, where we provide you with actionable steps to grow your passive income and become job optional. It's Financial Freedom Friday, and I'm here with Neil Timmons. During this episode, you are going to learn about the string of recent lawsuits that are shaking up the real estate industry. For those of you who are new, I'm your host, Ava Baukamp, and I love to educate investors about passive income from real estate. Before I open up today's episode, I want to ask you for a small favor. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a thumbs up or subscribe to the show so that you never miss an episode. And if you love what you're hearing, please give us a written review. Also, be sure to take a look at the description of this episode as we have it packed with thousands of dollars in free resources. All right, Neil, it's another Financial Freedom Friday. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. It's good to be here. And this is an interesting one that we're talking about today. And there's some facts already that you're going to talk about. And then it's still evolving. The book has not closed, if you will, on this subject matter.
Yes, this will be a dense episode, so buckle up. And just a little disclaimer, we're not your broker. If you're a real estate agent, this isn't professional advice. Plug into your own brokerage, because today we're going to be talking all about the recent lawsuits that have been raining down on the residential real estate industry. So just to kick it off, Americans currently pay nearly $100 billion in real estate commissions each year. That is a giant pile of money. And a recent string of lawsuits seeks to change the way that the industry operates. And it seems like every time I open up LinkedIn or open up my email, there's been a new lawsuit filed related to real estate commissions. And there's a lot of ways this could shake out. There's more unknown than there is known at this point, but we're going to break it down and wrap up this episode with some takeaways and action items for you. If you are a real estate agent, a realtor who is not sure how this all is going to shake out. So there is a real estate industry analyst. His first name is Ryan. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name because I'd butcher it. But he forecasts, as a result of these recent lawsuits, that roughly 30% of commissions will go away. So that's about $333 million in commissions gone as a result. And that roughly half of all agents could be pushed out of the industry. And so this is going to impact real estate agents in a big, big way. Neil, can you talk to us a little bit about the most publicized lawsuit, the Sitzer-Burnett case?
Yeah, that one, you're right, is the most publicized to date. So just down in Missouri, just below us here in Iowa, found that the National Association of Realtors, Home Services of America, that's an affiliate of Berkshire Hathaway. In fact, that's where I started my career, was in the Home Services of America family of companies here in Iowa nearly 20 years ago. So they've got lots of subsidiaries. They're the largest residential real estate company here in the U.S. Keller Williams, as well, in this suit, found him guilty of conspiring to inflate commissions, throw the NARS clear cooperation rule in violation with ultimately the Sherman Antitrust Act. Damages. This one was huge. The jury awarded almost $1.8 billion in damages. The judge verdict, because it's antitrust, it's a big deal. They could triple those damages to nearly $5 billion. Now, the verdict could be delayed as far out as April, maybe May of 2024.
Yeah, there's recently that news about the verdict being delayed has added additional uncertainty to the whole situation. We thought we were going to get a resolution in the space of 30 days after the jury's verdict, but actually because of the complication of the situation and other factors involved, it could be next spring, early summer, before we actually know how this is all going to shake out. And this isn't going away. There's plenty of other lawsuits that are being filed, and it's not just the lawsuits. The government is involved. The federal government, the Department of Justice had attorneys at the Sitzer case. They have been wanting and trying to make changes to the way that commissions are paid out for a long time. And this is, they really see this as their in, which is why they had attorneys at the Sitzer case. So whether it comes from the Department of Justice or it comes from lawsuits, this means big change for the industry. And just within hours of the verdict in the Sitzer-Burnett case on October 31st, the lead attorney for the plaintiffs, Michael Ketchmark, filed a new suit against NAR, Compass, Redfin, Douglas Elliman, EXP, Weikert Realtors, and Howard Hanna Real Estate in another lawsuit that is more of a national scale. And we're seeing new lawsuits filed on the heels of the Sitzer case, almost what feels like on a daily basis, if not a weekly basis. So here's a couple of additional lawsuits that have been filed. In Texas, there was another commission lawsuit that actually named individual real estate teams, not just a big company like NAR or Keller Williams, but individual real estate teams and an individual broker specifically. And this one in Texas is a little different in that its defendants list actual teams, and it wasn't brought by sellers or buyers. It was a case brought by Texas home builders against these individual teams and this individual brokers. And they sued more than two dozen realtor association and teams. In South Carolina, you have another filing by Burton against NAR and Keller Williams, and that includes home sellers across South Carolina. In New York City, the Real Estate Board of New York and 26 other firms, including Christie's, Compass, Coldwell Banker, Keller Williams, Sirhan, Sotheby's, to name a few, face lawsuits over commissions as well. And that lawsuit involves Manhattan home sellers over the last 4 years. And the court documents and the plaintiffs estimate that the residential sales in Manhattan topped $7 billion in the first 3 months of 2022 alone. So that's going to be a big one. And then in Chicago, we've got another case that will be opening up in Illinois at the beginning of next year. That one you may have heard of, it's called the Leader Batten case. And that involves a lot of big name companies as well. Compass, EXP, Redfin. Again, all of these big names are getting drawn into a ton of lawsuits. And what's actually going on if this is all fresh news to you? The core of the issue is the process through which a typical residential transaction is done. The seller agrees to pay a commission for the sale of their home, usually around 6%. The buyer does not directly pay commission to the agent that is providing services to them. Instead, at closing, the seller paid commission is split between the buyer's agent. And really, the core of the argument for most of these cases goes down to a couple of things. Because the commission structure is set by the seller's agent prior to them knowing who the buyer is, how qualified the buyer is, how experienced the buyer's agent is, they're just agreeing to a lump sum and it's getting split 50-50, generally 50-50. And this structure is seen to limit competition and the ability to negotiate commissions, not to mention the fact that buyer's agents get a larger percentage for their commission if the home sells for a higher price. And obviously, this goes against the best interests of a buyer if they want to secure a home at a lower price. And you could end up paying a really inexperienced agent the same amount as someone who's been in the industry for 25 years because of this structure. And so this is really what has brought about these accusations of antitrust violations. And Neil, can you talk a little bit about how the MLS is involved and how access to the MLS is coordinated through NAR?
Are you a passive real estate investor seeking financial freedom? Well, today's market's unique and it's ever-changing. Now is the time to get educated on how to strategically invest in commercial real estate for long-term financial freedom. Grab your copy of How to Passively Invest in a Changing Economic Environment. Go to www.mavericksinvest.com.
Yeah, you got it. Well, the MLS, it's all governed in by paid membership to NAR, to the National Association of Realtors. And then within below NAR sits typically a state association or a city association, like where I am, the Des Moines Association of Realtors. And in order to gain access to the MLS, one has to be a member. You have to be a realtor, member of the association. And then that means you're paying dues to be part of that. And at the same time, paying on top of one's dues, monthly MLS fees to be able to gain access to this multiple listing service, which is in my city where all realtors go in order to put their homes on the market. I use that in quotes, on the market, meaning list it so that other realtors can see that it is for sale and see what they are being compensated as a buyer's agent in the event they procure a buyer, in the event they sell that home.
Yeah. And part of the additional issue with NAR and access to the MLS is that for a while, some of this is changing now, but in order to list a home, you were required to provide compensation to the buyer's agent. And in addition to that, a lot of agents would steer buyers away from homes that did not provide compensation to buyer's agents. And this practice is known as steering, and it's also been seen as anti-competitive. So at the core, we really have three issues: antitrust violations, access to MLSs through paid memberships to NAR, which require buyer's agent compensation in order to list a property on the MLS, and potentially steering buyers away from homes that don't provide compensation. And while all of this is still up in the air, nobody really knows what could happen as a result of all of these lawsuits together. But here are five things that could shake out as a result of all of this. Number one is that cooperative compensation, where that commission is split, could be banned entirely. And this would end the longstanding practice of sellers covering the commission's fees for the buyer's agent. Number two is that buyers could negotiate and pay their own agent directly instead of having it split, or the sellers would still be able to offer the buyer's agent compensation, but they would negotiate that separately and pay the buyer's agent directly instead of splitting it out of one lump sum. Buyer broker agreements of some form or another could be required in every state. A minority of states already require buyer broker agreements, but it's not nationwide, and there's a lot of variation between each state. Number four is that access to the MLS and MLSs around the nation could change as that structure through membership to NAR in order to access MLS is coming under scrutiny. And as we're already seeing, number five is that copy lawsuits are going to crop up nationwide, inspired by the giant $1.8 billion verdict in the Sitzer-Burnett case. So if you're an agent and all of this is sounding kind of scary and intimidating and uncertain, here are some suggestions we have for you, just some ideas so you can prepare for this changing landscape. Number one is to be able to define your value, especially on the buy side of the equation. If you're going to be negotiating for your commissions directly from a buyer, you need to be able to articulate your value and the services that you provide to your buyers. Just like you have to do on the listing side for a seller, you will need to be able to define in a similar presentation instead for buyers what you do, the work that goes into you helping them find a home. Neil, can you talk a little bit about finding a niche? How does that impact agents in this changing landscape?
In your ability, as you said, to define your value, along goes with that, your niche. The more niche you are, the more defined in terms of what you do and who you best serve, the better you're able to articulate your value. So it's identifying your niche, whether it's a particular neighborhood, a particular price point. I know a number of agents who specialize in ultra high net worth clients, I mean, in ultra high net worth priced homes. the ability to define what that is, you can carve that off. It's going to allow you to articulate your value and ultimately get paid if this is the route you're going to negotiate that payment compensation from a buyer directly.
Yeah. Number three is to cultivate strong relationships. This is nothing new, but this is just a reminder that your network is super important for helping you navigate these changes. And that goes for both building relationships with other agents, but also focus on fostering client relationships and relationships with other industry professionals. Because if you have those relationships ahead of time, that will set you up well for whatever this landscape is going to look like over the next couple of years. Number four is stay informed. Don't bury your head in the sand. Nobody likes change. Change is always scary, but usually on the other side of it, you'll learn something, you'll come out better, you'll come out stronger. So plug into podcasts, keep an eye out for what's going on in the future cases, plug into support that your broker provides so that you can prepare and adapt. It's much easier to prepare for change and anticipate change when you know what's coming rather than to have to deal with it on the defense. So put yourself on the offense by staying informed. And last up is future ready your finances. Neil, what do we mean by that?
Well, if there's one big takeaway is this. I recall reading a book years and years ago, and it's Who Moved My Cheese, right? It's that what we've always done doesn't mean it's always going to work in the future. And that's what we're up against now. And so my big takeaway and suggestion for folks is you cannot rely on a single source of income. You need to have unrelated sources of income that really aren't subject to the whims of the jury, to NAR, to the feds, to the DOJ. You can invest in real estate and find multiple streams of income. Naturally, what we do here at our office, at our company, is help agents invest in real estate through syndications. Now, if you like, we've created a free resource just to so you can learn about passively investing in commercial real estate. If that's something that's of interest, you can get that at www.agentoptional.com. To our listeners, pat yourself on the back. You guys have made it to the end of the show, and most people never finish what they start. If you receive value from today's show, be sure to share it on LinkedIn, your Facebook page, or your social media platform of choice. Subscribe to never miss a valuable episode in the future. And if you found value in today's episode, give us a thumbs up with a positive review. If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear about, well, I want to hear from you. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn. The link to my profile is below in the show notes. You can connect with me there for more valuable content.